the Lucas County Council Podcast is a co-production of WGTE Public Media and the Lucas County Council Program, with generous support from an Ohio Attorney General's Office grant award. More information at causakids.net.
I am Andrea de la Roca, your host and community engagement and volunteer recruitment coordinator for the Lucas County CASA program, Core Appointed Special Advocates. In our second episode, we took a deep dive into what it means to prepare for one of the most meaningful roles in the juvenile court system, becoming a CASA volunteer. We explored the structure of the one-time 40-hour training and how it equips volunteers with the skills and knowledge they need to advocate for abused children. We learn about the core topics covered during training, from child abuse and neglect to courtroom procedures, poverty, domestic violence, and cultural awareness. Through interactive case studies and hands-on exercises, prospective volunteers don't just gain information, they build confidence and empathy. We also discuss the importance of the final step, the swearing-in ceremony, where new CASA volunteers become sworn officers of the court. It's a moment that marks the beginning of a journey, one that places volunteers on the front lines of change in a child's life. Whether you're considering volunteering or simply want to better understand the heart of this work, this episode offers a powerful look at the foundation CASA volunteers stand on before they step into a courtroom. If you missed that conversation, be sure to visit wgte.org/CASA and give it a listen. Today we're sitting down with CASA volunteers Beatriz Garcia and Maria Spasovska to hear about their volunteer journey, what brought them to the CASA program, what inspired them to get involved, and how they're feeling about this important work. Before we dive in, please introduce yourself. Tell our listeners about your background, how long you have been at CASA, and how many children you have served.
Of course. So my name is Beatriz Garcia, like Andrea just said. One of the great things about the CASA program is that we all come from different sort of life backgrounds, a very diverse group of people. So I actually have no previous or prior experience in the court or the court systems or government. I come from a business background, so I actually have a human resources background. And I have been with CASA now for, I believe, almost 3 years. It's been about 2.5 years now at this point. And I am currently serving my third child in the CASA program.
My name is Maria Spasowska, and I'm an attorney at the law firm Dixon Hayes, Witherell & Ward in Toledo. I've been with Dixon Hayes for almost 4 years now, initially as a paralegal, and then once I graduated law school at the University of Toledo and passed the bar exam, I became an associate attorney. I have been a CASA. In fact, I am, as an attorney, I am a guardian ad litem, and I've been doing that since July of 2024, and I have served 19 children so far.
Awesome. Without our volunteers, CASA simply wouldn't exist. They are the lifeblood of this movement. The reason we can say with confidence, every child we serve has someone in their corner. The following question is for Beatriz. What inspired you to become a CASA volunteer?
I always wanted to try to serve my community in some way. I started dabbling a little bit online to see, okay, like maybe I'll volunteer at a soup kitchen, or maybe I'll go and help clean up the Maumee River. So I kind of just started to do some digging online, and I somehow stumbled across the Lucas County CASA program on social media, and I'm like, okay, well, what is this? So I started looking into it just a little bit more. I was kind of seeing some testimonials from different children who had CASA volunteers during their cases. And then I went on YouTube and kind of went down an internet rabbit hole to learn more about it. And I loved the positive impact that it seemed like these CASA volunteers were giving to all these children, not only across, you know, Toledo, Ohio, but just across the whole nation in general. So that's really kind of what ignited the spark in me to seek out the CASA volunteer program and learn a little bit more about it.
Okay, so now you mentioned that your background is in business, but can you talk a little bit more about, you know, any professional, like specifically, or personal experiences that prepare you for these roles?
Yeah, so my background is very business-based. Have always worked kind of in like the more corporate business type of environment for the last 10 years. I got a bachelor's in business, and then I got a master's in human resources. And oddly enough, though, there does seem to be a lot of parallels with my professional work and my work that I do as a CASA volunteer. As an HR professional, a lot of what my day entails is doing workplace investigations. And as a CASA volunteer, there actually is like a little bit of like almost like a detective-y slash like investigative opponent to it, where you're getting to learn your child more, you're getting to learn your family more, you're getting to learn all of these adults that are inside of your child's life to really kind of deep dive into just the different dynamics of the family, and ensuring, of course, that your CASA child has everything that they need in order to strive and to thrive. So I think the interviewing piece of it, especially, it very much parallels with what I do with work, to just try to gain and glean as much information as I can to be the best advocate that I can possibly be. Just like at work, I'm interviewing different folks. I'm trying to dig in and get different pieces of information so I can best serve the employees at my company. And I'm doing the same work as a CASA volunteer to be the best CASA advocate that I can possibly be for my CASA child. And in regard to, I guess, some personal experiences as well. So one of the other things that I like to invest time is in Toastmasters. So for those of you who may not know what Toastmasters is, it is an organization that helps you with your public speaking skills. And I've been in Toastmasters now for about 5 years, and it's a great experience for those who have always kind of wanted to like get better at public speaking or just kind of speaking in front of others. And as a CASA volunteer, one of the dynamics of the pieces of work that you'll be doing is advocating for your child, but you're advocating for your child in front of a judge or a magistrate in court. And it can be a little bit of an intimidating experience at first, going up in front of there and kind of speaking on your experiences and speaking on what you've heard and what you learned. And I do think that the Toastmasters organization kind of helped me with that piece of it, and being able to stand up in court and advocate for my CASA child. And it's also been a great way as well to kind of help me continue to build on those public speaking skills too.
Maria, what about you?
I would say that being a paralegal prepared me to be a CASA in so many ways. Number one, I think that managing sensitive client interactions helped me with communication skills and helped my ability to establish rapport with vulnerable individuals, whether that's a reluctant family member or a traumatized child. I have learned that you can accomplish a lot through just active listening and non-judgmental communication. And number two, being a paralegal and now an attorney has taught me how to organize complex information into clear narratives, which really helps with writing CASA reports. Mm. Working at Dixon Hayes, I got to see firsthand the transformative power of CASA advocacy through the work of the other attorneys at my firm. And I also became very drawn to the investigative nature of CASA work, because as a CASA, you get to dig into details, gather facts, and piece together information to build a clear picture of a case. You get to speak to the kids, parents, caseworkers, teachers, doctors. You get to review all types of records and really just put on your detective hat, ask questions, and connect dots. And what was exciting to me was that you get to combine those skills with a meaningful purpose and influence the trajectory of a child's life.
So you talked about, you know, when you're doing your investigation, those skills you bring in from your job and from, you know, your life experience. But is there any support from the CASA office that you received during that, you know, during that period? Beatriz, let's hear from you.
Oh, certainly. Yes. The CASA, I mean, honestly, everybody at CASA has been so supportive. I had a mentor for kind of the first year of my CASA journey after I got sworn in. I would reach out to my mentor probably like every other day, like, hey, you know, like, can you help me with this? Or can you answer this question for me? Because of course the training is amazing. It's very hands-on. It get very much deep dives into all of the things that you'll need to know as a CASA volunteer. But when you kind of step into that first case, it's like much like probably the experiences that you've had in other endeavors in life. It's like, oh gosh, okay, like all that training, like what am I doing again now? So it's nice that, like, yeah, you kind of have that mentor there to help you along the way. So she was amazing. And also anytime I ever had a question, I would just like call or email the office and I would get a response back right away. We have amazing CASA coaches as well. So not only do you have the mentor, you have your CASA coaches. We also share contact information from the class who's going through the training. So they're also an amazing resource that you can lean on, because you all are kind of going through that first initial case together. So y'all may have kind of like the same experiences or the same questions as one another. And I certainly leaned on my different training mates throughout kind of that first case that I had. But I'm on, like I said, I'm going on year three, and I still have like tons of questions at times, because you never really know what situation you might step into. So in fact, even this morning, I was writing up a CASA report that I have due soon. And I was actually emailing the office and reaching out to another person that I met in the CASA program to ask some questions to just gain some clarity. So I feel like I continue to learn and grow and evolve with the CASA program. And I've always had such amazing support along the way.
Let's talk about the application process. Did you have any hesitations before applying? And if so, what helped you move forward? Maria, what about you?
I had a ton of hesitation coming from this place of concern whether I would be good enough at this very important and this very challenging job. However, at the same time, I had this very strong drive to help these kids and be a positive force, which eventually overcame that doubt, and I decided to move forward with the application process. And then once I started the CASA training program, I quickly realized that the Lucas County CASA office has the most phenomenal staff and coaches who just go above and beyond to make you feel prepared for this role.
Beatriz?
Yeah, so thinking back to the stage of applying, I was like, okay, you know, do I want to do this? Like, after I kind of had done some research on it, had looked at social media, had went on YouTube, I was like, okay, I think I'm sold. Like, I think this is something that I actually, like, want to do. So I looked up the application process online, and funny enough, actually, at the time, there were two different kind of training classes throughout the year that CASA would implement. There was one in the summer, and then I believe there was one in the winter time. And when I was looking, it sadly was right after the summer training had ended. So the next one was not going to be starting until January 1 of that upcoming year. And I'm like, okay, well, I think I want to do this, but now I guess I've kind of been given some time to just simmer on it like a little bit more to figure out like, yeah, is this really something you want to pursue? So I started looking at the application process a bit, and I'm like, well, you know what? I can at least fill out the application and submit it, and kind of see just where it goes. That way, at least I'll know I'll be ready and prepared to start the training class in January if I do get accepted into the program. And when I looked at the application, I saw that I believe there was a background check, and then there were some interviews that were going to take place too. And at first it did intimidate me. I'm like, oh gosh, I was like, okay, this is like, this feels very legit. Like, okay, is this are you going to do this? Are you going to pursue this? I'm like, okay, I sat on it for a couple of days. I'm like, kept looking at that application. It was just sitting on my desk, and I'm like, I want to do this. Like, I'm going to do it. So I started, I kind of started the process of filling it out, and, you know, getting all of my application material together, and I submitted it. And I remember the moment that I realized that I truly did want to become a CASA, because after I submitted it, I think I was like waiting a couple of days to tear back. And that's when I started to want it like more and more. I'm like, okay, like I can't, like I was looking forward to hearing back, and I'm like, started looking into training a bit more. Like, what would training be like? And what does the interview look like? Like, how can I best prepare for this? So I kind of liked the fact that that next training class didn't start until that next year. I think it was like 4 months away, but I think during that time, it just started the passion and the interest and the want to do it was like growing more and more inside of me. I'm like, okay, if I want to do it like 4 to 5 months later, that means like this is something that I truly do want to do. So even though at first I was like a little intimidated by the process, I'm so glad that I did it.
Okay, so what values or causes are most important to you, and how those CASA align with them?
Wow, yeah. So I would say one of the values that are most important to me is being able to give voices to others that may not necessarily have them, or being able to speak up for those who may not necessarily be able to speak for themselves. And with the CASA program, it's aligned so much with that goal that I just have for my life in general. Some of these children that I have served, they're babies, they're infants, they're toddlers. They're not yet at the stage of life where they can maybe go up into court and be able to speak for themselves and, you know, let that judge or let that magistrate know their lived experiences or what they want. So as a CASA, not only are you their voice, but sometimes you're their eyes and ears too. You're that kind of boots on the ground person that's going and staying in constant communication with them or visiting them to ensure that, hey, like, is everything good here? Are they safe? And then going back and advocating for what you think are their best interests to the courts. I've recently had an experience with working as a CASA volunteer for a teenager, and at that stage in life, life can already be super complex with just understanding who you want to be as a person, and also navigating through middle school and high school can have its own complexities of its own. And then, you know, you're kind of in this situation where you may not have the best family situation at home. So as a CASA volunteer, I'm the one who can be a voice for that child and navigating and helping them through, hey, you know, what do you want? What would you want your situation to be if all was ideal here? Like, what would the outcome that you would want to have happen? And I think sometimes throughout this process where there's a lot of different people in the child's life, they may feel like their voice gets lost. Mm-hmm. And as a CASA volunteer, you're the one to make sure that their voice isn't lost in this system. So mm-hmm. this is all just to say and kind of to circle back to my, to that kind of value that I really try to live by mm-hmm. is to be able to be the support or be the voice for someone who may not be able to speak up for themselves for whatever reason.
Now let's hear from Maria.
I get to be present for these kids and be present in a meaningful way. I am not in the courtroom just to check a box. Sometimes I have to make waves because a lot of people can be involved in these cases and everybody has their own agenda, from children's services to mom, dad, another caregiver, foster parents, but I have to do what's best for the kids. Ideally, everyone is on the same page, but occasionally, you might have to go against the program, which can be hard and perhaps scary, but that's part of true advocating, and I get to do that as a CASA, and it's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Okay, so now you talked a little bit about this already, but what have you learned or gained from your experience as a CASA volunteer?
Yeah, so I have had to learn patience at time. I've had to learn how to navigate maybe through a situation that might be a little bit more complex. Sometimes there, as I previously had mentioned, sometimes there are children who are not yet of the age who can speak. So with those cases, there's a little bit more of a closer lens that you need to have on, hi, how is the child doing? Do they seem happy or do they seem comfortable in this environment that they're in? So really kind of paying attention to the details when you can't necessarily use speech as a way to be able to communicate with somebody. Mm-hmm. Also, having to get reports ready too, very detail oriented, mm-hmm. having to make sure that you have all of the correct information in there because the judge is going to be looking at this and you want to make sure that, hey, like they're getting all the information that you think that they possibly would need in order to understand this case a bit better. And then the whole piece of going up in court and kind of advocating and sometimes having to testify in front of a judge and in front of everyone who's involved in this case, it's really getting you prepared to be able to speak in front of others in a confident way, because at the end of the day, even if you are kind of nervous to do it, know that you are doing it to help serve and protect somebody else. So mm-hmm. this is something that helps me. Anytime I get a little bit of, you know, of the nervous jitters in my stomach, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm doing this for my CASA child. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I can be scared. It's okay that I'm scared, but I'm also going to be brave for them. Mm-hmm. So there's been so many things that honestly, I've learned through the CASA program and so many things that it's helped me with personally grow as just a person and as a professional too. It really is hard to name all of them, Andrea.
yes. I understand. How do you see this role fitting into your life long term? Beatriz, let's hear from you.
Wow. Okay. So I certainly want to keep doing, I want to keep being a CASA volunteer for as long as I possibly can. I don't think I mentioned this previously, but I've always sort of dabbled with the idea of going to law school. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I've started to pursue mm-hmm. more recently, a little bit more seriously. And if I do go to law school and I eventually become an attorney, I still want to be a CASA GAL as mm-hmm. More like pro bono type of work. So I'm still kind of navigating what that will look like in regard to like professional my professional life. And again, if I do decide to go to law school, but I, and I guess almost kind of circling back to the last question that you asked me, this experience has helped me so much understand what that it will look like to go to court and to kind of get these cases ready. And thankfully we have amazing attorneys on our staff that help us with all of this, but it's even been great to kind of hear the way like they speak in court and the way they think. So for anyone who's listening, who has ever considered going to law school, or if that's ever been something that's been of interest to you, whether you're in school right now or whether you're a working professional, the CASA program has helped me so much. And I know that if I do decide to go to law school, I have great experiences to lean on in those law school interviews and in that personal statement. But even if I don't end up going to law school, I have been loving so much this experience. And I feel like every case that I get, I become a stronger and a better advocate for my children. So I want to continue to be that for them, for as long as I possibly can. So this certainly is just the beginning for me.
Now let's hear from Maria.
Long term, I envision this role as a way of fulfilling a very strong desire to be of service to my community, especially to vulnerable groups. I love Toledo, and this is one of my ways to give back to the community through advocating for kids who need a dedicated voice and support.
So CASA volunteers are the everyday heroes who step into a child's life during some of the most difficult moments and say, "You matter, I see you, I'm here for you." CASA volunteers aren't just attending court hearings or writing reports. They're building trust, offering stability, and being a consistent voice in a system that can often feel overwhelming and uncertain for a child. Each advocate brings their own unique perspective, life experience, and passion to the table. And that's what makes the CASA program so powerful. It's not about being perfect. It's about showing up with heart, listening deeply, and standing up for what's right. Currently, we have 164 CASA volunteers, but we need many more. Beatriz, what advice would you give to someone considering becoming a CASA volunteer?
Do it. I would say do it. If you have any reservations at all, please don't. And please reach out to me too. I'm more than happy to share my email and to be able to connect with you and answer any questions that you may have. Also, the CASA staff is amazing as well. I remember having some questions throughout the application process, and I reached out to the team, and they were able to help answer any questions that I had. But yes, please, if you have any reservations at all, or you just want to learn more in general before you kind of dip your toe in the water, always reach out to us. We're more than happy to help answer any questions that you have. But yes, I would say do it. It has given so much kind of breath to my life that I didn't even know could possibly be there. It's helped me feel so much more fulfilled just knowing, again, that I can be someone who helps be a voice and to help be an advocate for those who may not necessarily or who may not have felt like they had a voice before. So I absolutely have loved my experiences so far. And if you're feeling nervous, it's okay. I think we all on some level have felt nervous a little bit.
Yes.
before kind of jumping into the water. But please, please absolutely do it. And always reach out if you do have any questions about the process.
Maria, what about you?
My advice would be to just do a little bit of research about the work of a CASA and the impact you can make as a CASA volunteer. Also, reach out to the Lucas County CASA office. They are always willing to chat, ask questions, and visit their website, casakids.net.
A huge shout out to Beatriz and Maria for sharing their stories. We're so excited to have you on board. Your energy, heart, and commitment are what makes the CASA program so powerful. Whether you are already part of the CASA crew or thinking about joining us, we hope you're feeling inspired. There is always room for more passionate people ready to stand up for abused children. Please consider becoming a CASA volunteer. The pre-service training schedule and the application are available online on our website, CASAKids.net. Again, CASAKids.net. If you have questions, please call us at 419-213-6753. Again, our number is 419-213-6753. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Lucas County CASA Podcast.
The Lucas County CASA Podcast highlights how the power of one person can transform the lives of abused children in our community. This podcast is a co-production of WGTE Public Media and the Lucas County CASA Program, with generous support from an Ohio Attorney General's Office grant award. All episodes are posted on WGTE.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Learn more about the Lucas County CASA program at CASAKids.net.